So I shaved my head May 7th of this year, and it was by far the hardest thing that I've done in my hair loss life. By comparison, starting to wear wigs in 2012 was easy. This was very difficult, and learning to wear wigs and navigating hair loss, that wasn't easy. But shaving my head due to getting a second hair loss after 24 years of female pattern baldness was definitely the most difficult thing I've had to contend with in my hair loss life. A lot of times people will say to people with hair loss that they should just shave it, as though it's as simple as that, as though we aren't losing a part of ourselves. Or if they don't say that you should shave it, it's like, you should just get a wig, you know, have fun, you know, you can change it up. That's what I would do. When in reality, unless a person has been dealing with this, they have no idea how devastating it is and what they would or would not actually be able to do. I lived very depressed and anxiety ridden for a very, very, very long time, unable to live my life. I lost all of my 20s to hair loss without a doubt. The pivotal moment for me came in 2012 when I started to wear wigs. That is when I saw that their possibility existed, that there was a way for me to portray myself and to the world the way that I wanted. Not in a perfect way, because wigs are not perfect. They will never be our bio hair, the hair that we were born with. I don't own a wig that is technically as good as my hair was, because I was born with enough hair for three people. No wig was ever going to come close to that. When people say that their wigs are so much better than their bio hair, I never relate to that, because my bio hair was really, really good. I never had a bad hair day before I started to lose my hair at 21. And, you know, being that that was something that was also very focused on by people growing up, even at my earliest memories, that, oh, your hair is so beautiful, this and that, it was reinforced that this was my thing in my face all the time. So when I started to lose it, most people will experience this regardless, but I definitely felt like I just was, you know, losing me, and that I wouldn't be able to live. I wouldn't be able to have a life ever. Like, that's it. My life was over before it began at the age of 21, and I did not know how this was possible. I also blamed myself for a long time, because my hair loss being triggered by getting off the birth control pill, Oestrogen FE, and that kicking in my genetic predisposition for androgenetic alopecia. I felt I caused this. What would my life have looked like if I had not done this? But, you know, that's just a history on my hair loss. A lot of people do know my history. Some people don't. Female pattern baldness since 21. But last year, and also I want to say that the other way that I made hair loss work in my life was the same year I started wearing wigs in 2012, I cut my hair to a very, very short haircut. It was a shaved nape, longer front cut to blend with my close front wigs. And a close front wig is just a wig with no lace. The wig on my head right now is a lace front wig, which is meant to replace your hairline, so you don't actually have to have a hairline to blend. Close front wigs are best used when blending your own hairline or bangs, in my opinion. By cutting my hair short, that did a few things. One, shorter hair looks thicker, period. So it helps to disguise the loss somewhat, because the weight is off of the hair and it looks fuller. I also saw less of the fall in the shower, which was important to me, because seeing the fall was one of the most debilitating aspects of hair loss for me, was seeing it fall out all the time. And then it made wig wearing easier. I never had to bother with, you know, tucking up my ponytail or doing anything like that, because my hair was all cropped really tightly, shaved at the nape, the same year I started wearing wigs. That was how I took control over the situation, over my female pattern baldness. You know, I had been treating my hair loss previously. That's a much longer story, but after starting wearing wigs, I got off Aldactone 200 milligrams, which I felt stuck on. They put me back on the birth control pill, you know, to treat my hair loss, a big regret of mine. And since 2009, I had been using PRP to treat my hair loss. I really wanted to get off of Aldactone and the birth control pill. I really felt terrible taking these things. There's just many reasons for that that are beyond the scope of this right now. But once I started wearing wigs, I felt confident enough to do that. I hadn't been able to do it before because I felt like I couldn't mentally withstand the shed or any potential shed that would come. I don't know how I would deal with that, because when you go on any type of a hair loss treatment or a birth control pill, or you come off, you can lose hair. And based on how much I lost initially in 1999, I know that I couldn't deal, and how would I live my life? And I had much less hair by the time, you know, over the years as it's progressive. So I didn't want to risk it. But after I started wearing wigs, I did get off both of those medications separately, surrounding it around PRP treatments to help to try to mitigate any potential shedding. But I stuck with PRP since 2009. I know it doesn't work for everybody, but for me, it's something that I have definitely felt to be beneficial in slowing the progression of my hair loss. I'm not stopping it. It's not a cure. It doesn't work for everybody, and not everybody does PRP at a level that it could even potentially benefit the patient that's going in because they don't know what they're doing. That's just another fact of that as well. It's a cash grab for a lot of, you know, medi spas and doctors, and they don't put the time and effort to really, you know what they're doing in the practice of PRP to give the patient the best possible outcome. But even in the most capable hands with that, you could still not have any results, or the results wouldn't be beneficial to warrant your, you know, desire to continue doing it, or the pain or whatever of it. So anyways, that's how I lived with my hair loss. That's my program. I wore wigs. I did my PRP. I cut my hair short. Last year, after my father passed away in February of 2022, my hair started falling out tremendously, like never before. I've never seen anything like this ever. Again, my hair was already very short. So being able to see the fall when the follicles are so short, this is a tremendous amount of loss. For just a point of reference, prior to this happening, I had just had my shower unclogged after living it here since 2018, I believe. And for the first time, I had it unclogged in January. And then by March, the end of March, I had to call them back, or beginning of April, I had to call them back to unclog it again. That's how much hair fell off of my head that was already thin after, at that point, 23 years of female pattern baldness. That's how much hair fell that I had to have them unclog the drain. So it was just devastating because it was a nonstop fall. I thought maybe it was just stress from the situation. I had a lot of health issues that also happened surrounding this last year that extended beyond my father dying and the stress. I had a lot of health issues. So I thought it was that, but it did not stop. Didn't look like any hair was growing in. It just fell and didn't come back. So the loss was beginning to carve out into a creature-ish pattern where the temples are blown out and the sides, and then my hairline was moving back. And that's not really how female pattern baldness typically expresses itself. It certainly wasn't the way it expressed itself on my head. The previous two decades, I had an overall diffuse thinning of hair. That was the pattern of loss. But this was something else. So November of last year, I went to a dermatologist who diagnosed it as an inflammatory alopecia, basically of the alopecia areata family. And alopecia areata doesn't have to be in patches. It doesn't have to be in total hair loss of the scalp. There are different types of alopecia, you know, areata. There's areata patches, you know, there's totalis and universalis, but there's also diffuse alopecia areata, which people are less familiar with. But she diagnosed it with the use of dermoscopy, which is something they put to your head to look at the follicles. And she saw the exclamation point hairs, the, you know, yellow dots, and the dystrophic hairs, and that being hallmarks of an inflammatory alopecia. Things were suggested to me, none of which I really wanted to do. I didn't want to systemically treat my hair loss anymore with things like oral minoxidil. I never did oral minoxidil. It wasn't really popular back when I was in my treatment mode, but I didn't want to take anything systemically anymore. And treating this hair loss just gets me back to my other hair loss. I did do the steroid injections for about 5 or 6 rounds. It did nothing. This entire time, my hair loss progressed. This entire time, I felt I couldn't look at myself in the mirror anymore. I was brushing my teeth with a beanie. I had something on my head at all times, whether it was a wig or my beanie, which was not the case before. In years prior, I've always lived with my short haircut and my wigs. I use my bio hair when it works for me, like if it was relaxing or going to the gym or swimming, and I use my wigs when it works for me. So for all other things, I made both work. I had both going on in my life. I didn't just stick to wigs. I used my hair for, I accepted it for what it was. I used it for what it was, and I used my wigs. But now I could no longer do that. And I could no longer look at myself in the mirror, and the loss was continuing. When you're in this massive state of loss, when there's like, you feel like there's just not any more left to fall out, and it's continuing to fall out and plaster all over your body, it is mentally so devastating. It's like, it's gripping. I know what it's like to live with hair loss. I've obviously lived with it for a very long time, and I've also lived successfully with it for a very long time. But here was something else back again. And like I said, this loss was greater than any loss I had ever seen in my life. I also felt I would be dead and buried for the amount of loss that actually occurred. I had already cut my hair short. There wasn't many options left for me other than to shave my head, to do a couple things. One, shaving my head would allow the you know, the loss to look even and, you know, even it all out. So it would look less creature-ish. It would blend. And then also, I wouldn't be seeing the fall with my hair all over me everywhere that I went, every moment of the day, which was taking hold of me. It was not allowing me to really live my life as I had been or as I should be. Even if I had wigs, I have a lot of wigs. It didn't matter. And also worth noting, the type of wigs that I was wearing were no longer working. I was wearing closed front wigs, which require your hairline to be blended. I didn't have mine. Mine moved back and I couldn't start blending it back from where the hairline was, where there was density, or it would look weird on my forehead. So my wigs look more like wigs. My beanie life went out the window because there was so little hair that the way that it felt between my scalp and the beanie felt vacuous. So my beanies felt uncomfortable, but I had to wear them. So my beanie life was gone. My wig life was gone. My short haircut was no longer something that was useful for anything. I couldn't even look at it anymore. It just looked creature-ish. And every night I took pictures of myself just to torture myself, I guess, just to ensure that the loss was as great as it was. And for months prior to shaving my head, I knew that I needed to shave my head. I knew that was what I needed to do to reclaim my life back from hair loss, but I couldn't do it. And I had excuses in my head as well. Like, well, I had already had a lace front wig at the time, but I'm like, okay, well, if I needed to have a blonde lace front wig, because then if I had that, then I'd be able to do it. But if you had followed me on Instagram, I talked about this a lot at the time. I came to this realization that was just an excuse. I was making excuses. There was no wig on the planet that was going to catapult me to shave my head. It just didn't exist. This was something I had to do irrespective of that. And that's the fact. Again, there's no wig that's perfect that's going to replace my bio hair. It just was a very difficult thing for me to let go. Not everybody needs to shave their head, but I certainly did. I will take my wig off so that you can see the shaved head. This is about after, if you're listening to this on Apple, this is on YouTube. This is about after a week of shaving a number one guard all over my scalp. So this is about a week of growth, and life just got more complicated also in other ways after I shaved in ways I could not imagine. But by shaving it, it does allow it to look more even though it's very white, because that's pure scalp all through there. This is still better than what I had going on before. Despite this being something that was so difficult and so devastating for me, people have told me many dismissive comments on Instagram saying, oh, it looks like you would have enough hair to grow out to a short haircut, as though if that was actually reality, I wouldn't have chosen that as an option, or that I have more hair than somebody else, which of course I'm sure I do. There are still follicles on my head, but they're not usable. You know, a lot of people like to judge people based on whatever they're seeing, but nobody knows your story. Nobody knows my hair loss history, my hair, I should say. Nobody knows my hair the way that I know my hair. Nobody knows your hair or hair loss the way that you know your hair or hair loss. It's important to really be respectful of what people are dealing with in their own lives. So I don't love this. I want to say that for starters. I don't love having a shaved head, but I don't regret ever doing this. I don't regret shaving my head May 7th. By the way, I had made multiple failed attempts at trying to shave my head myself. I wasn't able to do it. I was just left in tears. It's like almost some self-protective mechanism that your body doesn't want to like take that part off. For me, it was. This is like trying to let go in this way is in a way that I can't even describe, because it's not the same if you're shaving your head, because this is something you want to do in your life and you know your hair is coming back. This is shaving my head, knowing why I have to shave my head, knowing the loss that's occurring, knowing that there's no end in sight presently with where this can go, and trying to accept this new look, which I don't love. Is it better than what I had before? 10,000%. I can look at myself like this. I could not look at myself in the mirror before at all with the hair loss the way it was when there was length on the strand. But that doesn't mean I love this. It is jarring to see yourself with a shaved head. It is jarring to have a balding shave. This is not a G.I. Jane, V for Vendetta, thick, you know, all dark around your scalp shave. This is a balding shave. And it is, even if it wasn't, even if there was more color, it's still not what I would want for myself. I would want my hair. If that was a choice, of course I would want my hair. Who wouldn't want their hair? But that was no longer a choice. And the minute that, by the way, I didn't do it. I had went to my wig stylist's house. I actually had gone there to see a wig, but also brought my shaver with me, thinking that if I felt the moment was right, I could ask her to shave my head. And we discussed it. And when I asked her, I was like, do you think that this is the right thing? She was like, 10,000%, you need this. That's after she already verified that it was something that I wanted to do for myself. And I was sure, but she was very honest. She's known me for a long time, Sophie, and could see how this was really killing me, really taking the life out of me. The minute I shaved it, which was hard to see, I didn't cry during this process, but seeing yourself with no hair, even if you have thinning hair, still hair on your head, was shocking. But at the same time, it was very freeing for me to have just done it. It was done. That point was done. I knew it needed to be done, and it was done. And I felt myself come back to me. Not in all ways that I would like, right? I would love to just have my 23-year-old female pattern baldness self of January, 2022. That would be lovely. I don't have that, but this I can live with. I can work with it. I can learn to adapt to it. And I am learning to adapt to it. It's not like I just shaved my head and everything was just, rainbows and, it's all perfect. This is an adjustment. What is going on is an adjustment. The reality that my hair is still falling out tremendously is an adjustment. Knowing that I can't grow my hair back for a very long time to even try, I can tell the level of loss when I'm looking at it, that I know that I can't do that is an adjustment. Letting go of that part of yourself is an adjustment. And when I shaved my head, I have very sensitive skin, so I got folliculitis. So on top of needing to shave my head, now I had folliculitis, which is pimples all over your scalp, the follicle getting inflamed. So there were just redness and pimples all over my head. And to have this be beneficial, I need to keep it at a number one guard, which is like an eighth of an inch. The last time actually I used a half guard. Now that I think about it, I use a half guard, which is a 16th of an inch. But otherwise, the minute there's length on the strand, it starts to look again the way I can see the loss pattern, and I start to feel less comfortable with myself. So I need to keep it short, but I have folliculitis. So now I'm irritating it by re-irritating it by reshaving, but I need to do it in order for this to work. So this is just a mind fuck of astronomical proportions here. I ended up having to get treatment for this, which I have now, and it's doing pretty good. But this is after 3 weeks of 200 milligrams of doxycycline, clindamycin twice a day, and also using T-cell shampoo and 10% benzoyl peroxide once a day, and Head and Shoulders. And I swear I've never done this much topically to my scalp to even treat my hair loss. And this is just to get rid of the pimples so that I can shave my head, because I have to do this to live with hair loss. This is what I had to do in order to continue to live my life and buy more lace front wigs, because I don't have a hairline to blend my close front wigs. And that's not my comfort level. I prefer close front wigs. You're using your hairline, you don't feel the lace. I feel like when you blend in your hairline with a wig, that's the most natural way to do it. That's the way I've done it for 11 years. I don't have that option. I have to change. I'm forced to change. I have no other alternative but to change. Because if I don't change, then I am doomed to live a very depressed, paralyzed, anxiety-ridden, fearful existence. And I don't want to live that way. So this situation isn't perfect, but the alternative is actually much worse. Not everybody understands what I have been through. Not everybody understands what this took for me, what this took from me and gave to me, I should say. It took a lot from me too. It gave me a lot, but it took a lot to do this. And like anybody else, I want to be understood, but I feel like I've always been very misunderstood in my hair loss, in my journey, in many different ways from the beginning of it. So I don't feel like this is that much different in the regard that many people still don't get me. But, I wanted to share one that we have to make the decisions that we need to make, that the choices that aren't choices, that's what I call it. This wasn't a choice. Shaving my head is not a choice. It's a choice in the regard that I did it. I said, I'm going to shave my head, and it's a choice, but it wasn't a choice. It was survival. It was survival, not a choice. It's like the choice of the non-choice. We get those in our life. We have the choices that are not choices. Wearing wigs, is that my preference? No, I would prefer to have my hair back, but that's not on the table. So then I make the choice of the non-choice. Okay, I'll wear wigs. I will shave my head. These are things that I would have rather not have done, but by doing them, they allow me to live my life. And that's what it takes in living with hair loss, the willingness to accept, the willingness to adapt, the willingness to do the things that maybe we don't want to do, but need to do for ourselves to move forward, whatever that looks like in your life. And I think that looks like different things for different people. I don't think everybody needs to wear a wig. Most certainly not everybody needs to shave their head. If you choose to treat your hair loss, that's up to you. I treated my hair loss for many years. I only stopped the PRP in January because after three attempts at this against the second hair loss. It did nothing. I may go back to it though. That's another story though. It's a longer segment for that, discussing why I would go back to that. But it's okay to treat your hair loss. It's okay to wear wigs. It's okay to shave your head. And along the way of doing everything and doing all of this, you have to realize that the people in your life or the people online, they may not understand. They may not get it. They may not get you. And you have to make peace with that. As much as I really would love to be understood, I have to make peace with the fact that many people have not understood me over the years. Many people won't get me in my life, online. That's just how it is. But that doesn't change what I need to do for myself. That doesn't change that this is still the right decision. So I will leave it here and to say to everybody, make the decisions that you need to make for you to live your life with hair loss so that you can have a life, so that you're not like me and you lose out on 13 years of your life, which I did, my entire 20s. I wish I could take my current mindset and put it back into my 21-year-old self. I would have had a different life. So make the decisions you need to make for you to live with hair loss. This is your life. This is your hair loss. And the only person's opinion that matters is yours. The only one that gets a choice in deciding what you do with your hair loss is you.